Hey, I'm Chuck Mingo, and you know what? Those commercials do describe a ripple effect, for sure, and that's what we're talking about in this series, How to Change the World. So yesterday was the first time that I was actually teaching in the multi-site setting in the West Side, and I said I should probably introduce myself and give them a little bit more context to who I am. And I know there's a lot of new folks around here who probably are wondering, like, who is this guy on the stage? So I figured I'd just do a little bit of that this morning. So I will let you know that I have been around Crossroads for, gosh, it's been 13 years? I'm losing track of time. 13 years, yes. And I am the campus pastor here in Oakley. I had no intentions of being a pastor. I actually had no intentions of staying in Cincinnati longer than 24 months. Those years ago, I had a job with P&G that brought me here, and I just really got connected to Crossroads, what God was doing here, and felt a calling beyond what I was doing to come and be on staff here, and that was kind of the beginning of a journey for me that I am really excited to be on. I've been married for almost 12 years to my lovely wife, Maria, and we've got a growing family. So I've got a son, Nathan, who's 5 and a half, and if you have a 5-year-old, you know the half really matters. So 5 and a half... 2 and a half, my son Samuel, and guys, I'm excited because April 10th, we are welcoming our baby girl into the world. So we have a little daughter, so I'm really, really excited about that, and since my wife is 8 and a half months pregnant, I am tired. I am worn smack out. Nobody's sleeping in our house right now. Poor Maria, she's getting up like 25,000 times to go to the bathroom a night. My other kids have forgotten how to go to sleep and how to stay asleep. And so actually that's why this chair is here, just in case I get really, really tired. In fact, I don't know if you brought a throw rug with you to church today, but if you did, or throw blanket, I'd love to just borrow it for a little bit up here. So, but because of that, obviously there's a lot of things changing in my life, and family's on my brain right now. And particularly, I've been noticing this trend in the things that I've been reading and the things that I've been listening to, and in this series, as I look at the scriptures, of the ripple effects that flow from families. A quote that I came across from a childhood hero says this: family is very important to me because that is the footprint we perpetuate. That is the ripple in the water when the rock first impacts the pool. And it is those waves, that energy that one produces, that determines our direction. So Larry Wilcox said this about family and the impact, the ripple effects that kind of flow from a family. And he's definitely a childhood hero of mine. I might date myself in saying this, but who remembers the show Chips? Yes. He was John of Punch and John, the combination on Chips. So if he said it, then it must be true. So, you know, I've been thinking about this, and I've seen this theme over and over again. I just finished reading a great book, great, great book, called Act of Valor, and it's a book about Navy SEALs, Navy SEAL teams in our country, and it's just a powerful book. And one of the things that I resonated with in this book is the Navy SEALs really are an extended family on mission. That's who they are, and so these guys have a connection and a bond that goes beyond DNA, and they're closer to the team sometimes than they've ever been to their blood family. And as they're going out embarking on this mission early in the book, all the SEALs on this particular team are gathered at a beach in Coronado, California, and it's their wives and their girlfriends and their kids are with them. And you just get the sense that this is a family, and the ripple effects of this family are about to have a significant impact. I'm seeing it everywhere. Actually, one of the shows that's really popular on TV right now is all about the ripple effect of an extended family, though you might not know that from the surface. So I'm wondering in the 11:45 service, any Walking Dead fans? Anybody like this show? For sure, the strongest response has been at the 11:45 service. My wife loves Walking Dead. Oh my goodness, Maria loves this show. And as true fans will tell you, even though the show is 1 hour a week, if you're a true fan, it's a 2-hour commitment. Because after you watch Walking Dead, then you have to watch Talking Dead. That's right, which is all about what you just watched and mourning all the losses of people who've been eaten by zombies. It's crazy. It's crazy. I'm a reluctant convert to the show. I have to admit, I am increasingly concerned about Rick's baby, and I think Michonne is a rock star. So I'm growing. This show is growing on me. But the show is not about the zombies. That's why I'm struck by it. These folks are an extended family in the show. Not by blood, but by mission. The mission of survival. What do you do if that were to happen in the world? And so you get into the characters, you get into their relationships. It's the ripple effect of families. I just see this over and over again, how families and teams in particular have a ripple effect that can change things. And you know what? That is part of the through line of the Bible as well. In the very first book of the Bible, in Genesis, God creates man and woman and says, I want to create you to be a part of my family, and together we're going to make a difference in the world. That's what God has always been about. He's always been about that. And this series, How to Change the World, we're looking at another extension of that family by looking at the first 30 years of the church's history, this thing that Jesus established, this team that Jesus established, going through the book of Acts. And the main thing today that I want us all to see is that changing the world is the ripple effect of a team changed by God. Changing the world is the ripple effect of a team changed by God. That's what we see in the book of Acts, and I believe that's what we're invited into as we think about and consider following Jesus. Let's pray. God, I just ask that you would heighten our sense of awareness of what it is that you're calling us all to. God, we are at different places spiritually. We're at different places of belief, and yet I just know that your invitation for everyone in this room is to move closer in to you and into the mission and into the team that you have. And so I pray today that we would sense both the invitation and the challenge to be a part of the bigger thing that it is that you're doing in the world. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So this idea of teams having ripple effects that change the world is all throughout Scripture. Abraham was the patriarch of the nation of Israel. And God, when God calls him, says, I'm calling your family to be a blessing to all the families of the earth. That's actually what it says in Genesis. That's the call. And Jesus was coming through that line. In fact, that's the blessing that was being foretold, that God himself would take on the form of flesh and be born through the lineage of Abraham, and that extension of the family would then go and extend to the entire world. So it's all about the ripple effects of this family. So in the book of Acts, we're seeing Jesus gathering his family. This is after Jesus has literally and physically risen from the dead. For the next 40 days, he spends time with his team clarifying the mission, telling them what it is that he wants them to do to continue to create those ripple effects. And in fact, when we look at Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, here's what Luke, the historian, says about why this book was written. He says, in the first book, meaning his Gospel of Luke, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. So Luke, the Gospel of Luke, is about the things Jesus began to do and teach. And the continuation of the story is the book of Acts, which is all about what his team continued to do and preach. It's an extension of the family. It's an extension of the team's ripple effects. He said he presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. Jesus said, hey, I want you to know, this is what this team is about. We are about extending the kingdom of God. We're about extending the reign of God, the love of God, the grace of God, the peace of God. That's what this team is about. Jesus wanted to make sure his followers knew that. And that team, with that common mission and common vision over the next 30 years, Acts, the book of Acts covers the first 30 years of history of the church. And in that 30 years, this team that started in a corner in Jerusalem literally changed the entire known Roman world at the time. So much so that just 17 chapters later in the book, this is what's said about them. It says in Acts 17:6, and when they could not find them, speaking of the followers of Jesus, they dragged Jason and some of the brothers before the city authorities. Jason and those brothers were followers of Jesus, shouting, these men who have turned the world upside down have come here also. So within 30 years, this small team was known as the people who had turned the world upside down. There were tremendous ripple effects that flowed from the team that Jesus began, and those ripple effects continue today. Those ripple effects are happening in my life. Those ripple effects are happening in Oakley, in Mason, in Florence, and on the west side. We had 1,751 people show up for the first weekend of services last weekend. Amazing. And those ripple effects are beyond Crossroads. Every follower of Jesus in our city, in our country, and in the world has been impacted by the ripple effects of this family. Because to change the world, it begins with a team that's been changed by God. So if we want in on the ripple effect, if we want to be a part of this movement, if we want to change the world, Jesus gives us kind of a roadmap for how to do that. In Acts 1, 6 through 8, he gathers his family together and he says this. It says, when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Because they still thought, even though he had now risen from the dead, they thought the kingdom was just about overthrowing the Roman oppressors at the time. And Jesus said, my vision is so much bigger than that. He said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Jesus says, let me give you a picture of the ripple effect. He describes here concentric circles of geography. He says, you're going to turn the city of Jerusalem upside down. You're going to turn it upside down with a message of love, the message of grace. And that was to begin in just a few days from the point when he said these words, because they would receive power from the Holy Spirit. And these people who had never learned these foreign languages would begin to declare the good news of Jesus in languages they had never learned. It's called the Day of Pentecost. And you can read about it in the book of Acts chapter 2. That was Jerusalem. But Jesus says it's not going to stop there. Judea and Samaria, that was an extended region of a concentric circle. He said you're also going to have an impact in that concentric region. That would be like Jesus saying, not only are you going to impact Cincinnati, but the entire tri-state region is going to be impacted by the grace and love and power of Jesus. And then he doesn't stop there. He says, and to the end of the earth. Jesus is describing three concentric circles of ripple effect, of impact. And I see in this another three concentric circles that really define how do we get involved in this overall ripple effect. Three ideas, three ways we change the world. And the first is this. We change the world when we receive the coach. We change the world when we receive the coach. That inner circle is what Jesus is talking about when he says in Acts 1:6, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Jesus is saying the third person of the Trinity, there's God the Father, there's God the Son, this is who Jesus is, and God the Holy Spirit. Jesus is saying the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, will empower every follower of mine, every follower of Jesus's, for the mission of expanding the impact of the team. He says you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Think about the teams that you've been on in your life, or the teams you've desired to be on. Maybe at work, there's a team and a manager. You know, everybody wants to be on the team with the best coach. You want to be on a team with the coach that empowers people, that knows how to encourage people, that knows how to challenge people appropriately. You want to be on the team with the coach who knows how to position the players to win the game, the coach who's consistent, the coach who cares, the coach who's present, the coach who's accessible. And Jesus says, I'm going to give you the best coach you could ever imagine. God himself, the very Spirit of God, will dwell inside of every person who puts their faith in me. That's the best coach you can imagine. And here's what I know. I know in my life, when I said yes to Jesus, when I surrendered my life to Jesus, the Bible says, I received the gift of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit lives inside of me. And yet, I believe that there's an invitation for me to regularly receive from the coach, to regularly connect with the coach, to regularly be filled up with the encouragement, the direction, the counsel that he wants to give me. In fact, that's the real reason why this chair is up here, because this is the chair from my bedroom. This is actually where right now, for this season of my life, I spend time connecting with the coach. And usually it's in a room not unlike this. It's dark in the morning because I'm trying to let my wife sleep, and it's just me and my iPad mini. And it usually begins with me kind of waking up and stumbling out of bed and kind of doing one of these when I get to the chair. You know, it's like, you know, falling asleep, and then I'm like, oh, that's right, I'm supposed to be connecting with God. All right, oh, man. Hey, and I don't do this every day. Some days I sleep in. Some days I go for a run. Some days I do other things. But when I am in a regular rhythm of connecting, I receive from the coach in this chair. I really do. Friday was one of those days for me. Man, I've just been overwhelmed, if I'm honest. Third baby on the way, thinking about all the implications of that. Busy season here around Crossroads, thinking about all the implications of that. And I was tired. In fact, Wednesday, there's a woman who cleans the offices in Oakley, Tanya, and so I've known her for a long time, and she comes in, and I hadn't seen her in a while. I'm like, hey, Tanya, how you doing? She's like, I'm good, but how are you? I didn't say anything to her, but she was like, on your face, you just look tired. And I was tired. And if you're here for last Wednesday, I told folks, like, you know, man, rough day. I've been pretty tired. I was up since 1 that morning because of, you know, sleeplessness in the house. And afterwards, I had a bunch of people coming to me like, are you going to be okay, Chuck? Are you going to be okay? And it's like, man, I was just spent. And so, you know, here I am. It's Friday morning, and I'm sitting in this chair, and I'm just like, oh, man. And a lot of times when I'm in this chair, I'll just say, like, Holy Spirit, what do you have for me today? What do you have for me today? And I use the YouVersion Bible app. You can download that for free. That's what I use to read through the Bible. And when you pull it up in the morning, there's a verse of the day. And when I pulled it up on Friday, here's what the verse of the day was. It was Isaiah 40:31, which says, but they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And I tell you what, man, that was a word from the coach to me. I heard the coach speaking through those words. When I say I heard, I don't mean I heard an audible voice saying, this is what I have for you today. That's not what I mean. But what I do when I read the Bible and when I pray, I am expectant that there is a living God inside of me that communes with me, and that he's going to speak to me. And so when I read things that just resonate in my heart, they resonate encouragement to me, or they resonate challenge, sometimes it's resonating correction to me, I say, that's the thing that the coach wants me to do, and I act on it. And having done that for years and years and years, you get to know his voice. You actually understand the coach's direction. And I tell you what, my wife can tell you, I've been reciting Isaiah 40:31 because I need to be continually strengthened by these words the coach has given me. They who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like an eagle. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. So when it's been, and it has been, you know, in the middle of the night at 3 a.m., when I'm going in because one of my kids has again forgotten how to stay asleep through the night, I'm walking in and I'm like, they who wait upon the Lord, go back to sleep, shall renew their strength, shall mount up with me. I mean, it's an imperfect thing. Let me not paint this picture that it's perfect. But can I just tell you, seriously, this week I have been strengthened by the coach because I haven't had the energy. Even right now, as I think about this, I was sitting in there coming in to the 11:45 special. I'm like, oh my gosh, do I have one more in me? I got to do this one more time. This is the sixth time I've done this week, and I hope you're enjoying it. I've done it six times. So for me, it's like, oh my gosh, am I going to be able to make it? And you know what? I just went back to this. They who wait upon the Lord. That word wait means hope. My hope is not in my ability to stand up here and say anything helpful, but my hope is in the coach. And I just know if we're going to change the world, we need the coach. We need the coach, and there's an invitation for all of us to receive the coach. You know, some of us are followers of Jesus already, and I believe if you're a follower of Jesus, you have received the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes and resides in you when you come under the authority of Jesus. But let me ask you a question. Do you have a regular rhythm of finding time to connect with the coach? If not, I want to encourage you to do that. One of the ways many of us around here do it is through the daily. You can subscribe to The Daily for free, and every day, Monday through Friday, there'll be an email sent to you with a link of some scripture to read and some reflection on those words. And right now in this series, it's going through the book of Acts, since that's what we're focusing on in the series. And I just encourage you, whatever it is, if it's The Daily, if it's anything else, have a regular rhythm of connecting with the coach. He wants that. And you know what? Maybe you've never received the Holy Spirit. Maybe you've never received and come under the authority of Jesus. I hope you do. I don't know if that's going to happen for you today or not. I would hope that it would. But if it doesn't, when you're ready for that point, I want you to know Jesus said it's as simple as asking to receive. Look at what Jesus says in Luke 11:9. He says, I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. And he's talking about the Holy Spirit. If you just go down a couple verses, he says, the Father wants to give you the Holy Spirit if you ask for it. You know, maybe you're at the beginning of that journey, and maybe you're like, I don't know where I'm at with the Jesus thing. I want to encourage you to think about something we do around here called the God Experiment, which is a conversational environment where you can ask questions about, what does it mean to follow Jesus? What does it mean to be empowered by the Spirit? What is the story of God all about? I'd encourage you to take that next step if that's where you are, because Jesus wants to empower you for the mission to change the world, and that happens when we receive the coach. That's that first concentric circle. But then that next concentric circle is all about relationship and community. We change the world when we connect. We change the world when we connect. The beginning of this segment, where Jesus is talking about the Holy Spirit and the mission, begins this way. So when they had come together. So when they had come together. You see phrases like this all throughout the book of Acts because this was a team. These were people who had common vision, they had common life rhythms, they had common meals, they would gather together at homes and at the temple and hang out. They were in each other's lives, they knew each other's imperfections. They were not trying to do this thing alone, they were a part of a team. Every great team has a common vision. Every great team has common rhythms, and every great team wears a common jersey. Coach, the name on the front of the jersey means a whole lot more than the name on the back. I cannot believe I had to scrape ice off my windshield again this morning. Seriously. Cannot believe that. But tomorrow is opening day, and it is baseball season, so spring is on the way. Go Reds. Go Reds. See, here's what I know. I know two things about everybody in here, even though we may have never met personally, I know absolutely to the core of my being two things about you. One of them is I know you want to belong. I know you want to be on a team because we all want that we're wired to want that connectivity. And can I just tell you something? If you belong to Jesus, you belong to a team. You belong to a team. And you know what? This team has a common jersey. Our common jersey is love. Our common jersey is grace. Our common jersey are the fruits that the Spirit produces in our life. Gentleness, goodness, self-control. Those are the common jerseys. But at the core of that, it really is love. Man, Jesus said, by your love will people know that you are mine. So if you're on the team, you have a common jersey. And I just want you to know, you can belong. You can belong. I was thinking about this. All the best sports movies. Think about the favorite sports movies you've ever seen. They're usually not about individuals, are they? They're about a team. Here's a couple of mine. Any Hoosiers fans? Yes, Hoosiers. Man, I love that movie. It's about a team. About a team. How about this one? Remember the Titans. Woo! We are the Titans. We are the Titans. The mighty, mighty Titans. I love that movie, man. I could just love it. Love it. Another powerful, poignant movie in my life. Dodgeball. Dodgeball. Hey, a truth in life is this. If you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball. That is true. That is gospel truth right there. I mean, you know, I thought about all the great sports movies that I could put up on the screen. They usually are about teams. They're about teams. And I mean, in those three cases, they're based on true stories. Well, two of them are based on true stories. Two of them are based on true stories, right? I actually was thinking about this. There might be one correction to this I might make. A great sports movie that you could say is about an individual, but I actually argue it's about a team too. I'm originally from Philadelphia, so I have to put Rocky on the list. Rocky, for me, is a great, but Rocky had a team. Adrian was on his team. Mickey was on his team. You're getting soft, Rocky, you're getting soft. He had a team. He wouldn't be anybody without Mickey. I mean, come on. I cried like a baby when Mickey died, man. I just cried like a baby. You know, I mean, here's the deal. They're all about teams because here's the thing. You're wired to connect. You are not wired to change the world on your own. And I tell you what, you need to understand in your life, if you're playing for the name on the back of the jersey, you are going to be limited. But when you start playing for the name on the front of the jersey, man, you can change the world. You can change the world. So I encourage you to connect. I encourage you to connect because we change the world when we connect. I told you there was two things I knew about everybody in here. One of them is I know you want to belong, but I know that you don't just want to wear the jersey. You want to get in the game. You want to get that jersey dirty. And see, here's the thing. Jesus doesn't call his followers to be people who have holy huddles, who are people who just have this incredible power from the Holy Spirit in their life, and they have these common rhythms and these common visions with each other, but they just kind of huddle up and make sure everybody else feels like they're on the outside looking in. That's not what this is about. Look at what Jesus says to his followers in Acts 1:8. He says, "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." He's saying this is going to go beyond you, and you're going to be reaching out into the world and inviting other people to be a part of the team. Inviting other people that there is a God who loved them enough that he came in flesh and he actually died and rose again so that you could be empowered by the Holy Spirit and you could be a part of what you've always wanted to be a part of, a place where you can belong and a place where you can make a difference and put points on the board. That is the invitation. Jesus says, you're going to be my witnesses to do that. We're going to get our jerseys dirty as a part of this team because we change the world when we engage. Hey, I don't know about you, but my bracket is jacked up, just straight up. Ball it up, throw it away. It's worth the dollar I spent to get in the pool at this point and nothing more. I mean, it's crazy. There's been incredible feel-good stories, though, in the tournament. You know what? They made it to the Elite Eight. They lost. But let's give it up for UD. That was a great run. Great, great run. Great team. And I got to tell you, man, the Kentucky Wildcats, come on. Those twins are the truth. Those twins are the truth. I didn't see that one coming. I didn't see that one. That's one of the reasons my bracket's all jacked up. But I didn't see that one coming. You know, there's some really feel-good stories in the tournament every year. There's one story that doesn't feel good to me. I'm sure this coach had good intentions, but, you know, every basketball team has people who just ride the pine. I mean, they kind of do the warm-ups, and then they just ride the pine. They don't really get in the game. And Stephen F. Austin is a school that hadn't made the tournament. I don't know how long, but they don't make the tournament every year. And so because this is a unique opportunity, this coach said, I want to make sure every player on my team at least gets to step onto the court. So toward the end of the game, he had like the bench warmers go out on the court. And this is something that doesn't happen a lot in basketball, but they call it a trilly five-way. What that means is if you play one unproductive minute in basketball on the score box, basically you'll have the one for your minute on the far left, But then every other category is a zero because you didn't pass, you didn't get any assists, you didn't get any scores, you didn't get any foul shots, you didn't block a ball, you didn't do anything, you didn't get a steal, you didn't do anything. And I'm thinking he's probably like, but I want these kids to be able to say to their grandchildren one day, I played in an NCAA tournament game. That's a great intent. But can I be honest with you? I don't think I would be very proud 25, 35, 40 years from now telling my grandchildren, well, you know, I stepped onto the court on the game. And what'd you do, Pop? Nothing. I didn't do anything, but I stepped on the court. Like, see, the thing, you want to get your jersey dirty. You want to say, I was in there for the big play. You know, I threw the no-look pass that made up for the shot that wound up winning the game. You want to be in the game. You want to get your jersey dirty. A friend of mine actually played for Xavier during some of their tournament teams, and he has the best war stories to tell. Seriously, it's the best war story. One of the stories he said was when he's a freshman, they were going to play in Nebraska. And so the news folks here are kind of interviewing him in the locker room. Hey, what do you think about it? Are you going to play in Nebraska? He's like, well, I'm just guessing they're going to have to bus people in for the games in Nebraska because I don't even know who lives out there, you know? So he's trying to be funny. Well, even pre-Twitter, news like that travels fast. So they go to Nebraska, and when they get off the plane, there are people greeting them with, like, the Hawaiian leis, you know? And at first he thinks it's like, welcome to Nebraska, but no, it's like, screw you. We'll show you who cares about basketball in Nebraska. So he goes to the stadium, and he said they knew it was him. So when they called him into the game, it's like, Michael Davenport, they're like, boo, boo, they're booing him. And he was like, it was crazy, just crazy, crazy, crazy. People have signs like, you know, we were bussed in for this game. You know, they were waiting for him. They were waiting for him. And he has those war stories. Another war story he tells is about playing in Evansville. And in Evansville, apparently, the gym is really small. And so where you would go to do an inbound pass, you're pretty close to the fans. And he said it was not uncommon for fans to pinch you, try to pull your shorts down, you know. And home field advantage, the refs don't see that. They don't call that over there. So he just has these stories. And I'm like, you know what? Michael has stories not because he was riding the pine. You don't get those stories riding the pine. You get those stories when you get your jersey dirty and you're in the game. Let me tell you something. Crossroads is one expression of this team. This team that Jesus started that has ripple effects that are changing the world. And there are people around here who get their jerseys dirty all the time. Like this guy. Take a look.
My name is Rick Morris, and I volunteer in the Kids Club. My daughter and I, we served as a team for the last 8 years, and we were having our lunch after our 9:30 session, and they came in looking for other volunteers for the 11:30. So I had my daughter, Ricky, ask what they needed, and the only thing they needed was special needs. So never been in special needs. I went in there, and as soon as I walked in the room, the Lord told me that that's where I needed to be. God is his spirit just in there. I mean, our mission as a special needs is to build into the children the kingdom of God, build into the parents a feeling that they can bring their child to special needs and not have to worry why they're in service of what's going on. Some of the things I think I do to me may seem insignificant, but it's all the big picture of the whole church, engaging people, teaching, loving. There was a kid, and he was maybe 12 or 13, I'm not sure, and he liked to be by himself. But after engaging with him for a couple weeks, and him seeing me over and over for a couple weeks, he actually came and put his head on my head. And the ladies who were there said, that's him showing you love. That's how you know you're making an impact.
Celebration takes a lot of different forms.
I mean, it's great to be on the team. Most of my life, I didn't want to be on the team. I wanted to be me. You know, I could do this. I don't need that. But for other people to build into you while you're building into a child, oh, it's an awesome experience. There's just a ton of awesome people who serve in Kids Club already, but we could use a ton more. I always tell people I probably get more from it than the kids do, but no, anybody can do it. I'm anybody. If I can do it, anybody can do it.
Hey, Rick is getting his jersey dirty. You know, we have folks in Kids Club that do a variety of roles. And the role that Rick does, actually, he's doing it on the west side now. He was doing it in Florence. Now he's doing it on the west side. He's in a special needs room. And in that room, it's typically one-on-one care. And he talked about the story of the 12-year-old boy who, you know, he was able to gain that boy's trust. Let me tell you something. For the parents of those children, the hour they spend in here while somebody is caring for their kids might be the only hour a week that they get freedom. It might be the only hour a week where they can be in a place where they can receive. And you know what? Rick is making an impact. He's a hero on our team. He's getting his jersey dirty. You know what? I was thinking about wearing this jersey today. And one of the people who all of us commonly honor who wore this jersey is this guy right here, Pete Rose, right? Pete Rose. And the reason you love Pete Rose is because you knew at the end of the game, because of his jersey, he left it all on the field. He got his jersey dirty, and he left it all on the field. And I tell you what, Rick and people like him in Kids Club and the volunteers around here that are getting their jersey dirty, they are leaving it all on the field. See, here's the problem with a clean jersey. If you have a clean jersey at the end of the game, you can't point to anything in the outcome that's different because of you. Nothing. Nothing. If you just ride the pine, you don't get to share in the war stories. But man, if you get your jersey dirty, then you know at the end of the game, man, I contributed to that. And Rick is getting that feeling all the time. You know what? He's changing. That family is changing. Everybody's being impacted because he's getting his jersey dirty. There are people around here who wear jerseys and get them dirty all the time. But I tell you what, I want to invite you to get your jersey dirty. See, let me tell you, this team, we're doing something that starts next week that you can be a part of to help get your jersey dirty. It's called the Beans and Rice Fast. Beans and Rice Fast. We did this last year. Let me tell you, guys, I'm on a crazy team of people who sacrifice for Jesus in unbelievable ways. So let me tell you what my crazy team did last year. Last year, my team said, you know what? Around the world in third world countries, there are people who their subsistence diet is basically beans and rice. So what if we as a team decide that for 1 week, we're going to eat what many people around the world eat, just beans and rice, and we'll take the difference between the cost of feeding ourselves or our family beans and rice and what we would typically spend on eating out or going to the grocery store, and we're going to give sacrificially to three causes outside of Crossroads with that money. So let me tell you what my team did last year. My team kept pools open in our city last year. That's what my team did last year. My team last year said Compassion International, which does great work around the world helping kids get care and food, medical attention, and education. You know, a lot of times sponsors back out. My team said, we're not okay with that. We're going to step in and fill in the gap for Kids in Compassion whose sponsors back out. That's what my team did last year. My team last year said, we think preschool is a game changer for kids in our city in Cincinnati, so we're going to fund preschool education for kids in our city who wouldn't otherwise get it. That's what my team did last year. Yes. And you know what? We had dirty jerseys and somewhat gassy jerseys at the end of that week, but together as a team, we raised $377,000 to give outside of Crossroads. That's what my team did last year. And we're doing it again. And you can be a part of it. In fact, this year, we're going to have a bigger ripple effect because not only is Crossroads doing it, but there are 30 other churches in Cincinnati doing Beans and Rice Fast with us this year. It's going to be incredible. You know what? Because we're recognizing that I'm not playing for the name on the back of the jersey. And let me tell you something. The name on the front of my jersey is not Crossroads. The name on the front of my jersey isn't XYZ Baptist Church. The name on the front of my jersey isn't XYZ Lutheran Church or Methodist Church or Catholic Church. Jesus is the name on the front of the jersey, and we play together. We get our dirty jerseys together. We do that as a team. And there are people around here getting their jerseys dirty all the time. Let me just tell you some other people who are getting their jerseys dirty. Here's my friend Paco. Paco is he leads high school ministry around here, but he's been known to park cars, although he must be practicing because there's no cars in that vicinity right now. But he's been known to park cars. But there are people like John Chisholm and Tara Eplin who are parking cars. We got a great parking team. It's cold out there today, guys. And when you came, I know they greeted you with smiles and crazy hats to make sure that you could get to a place where you could connect with Jesus. Let me tell you something. They are not just parking cars. They're changing the world. That's what they're doing. My friend Jerry Albers. Jerry Albers is part of the Kids Club welcome team. So Jerry's getting his jersey dirty when new parents come, new families come. You know, as a parent, I know it must be both exciting and probably a little bit disturbing, not disturbing, but concerning that there's a place for your kids outside of this auditorium. It's like, is that going to be good for my kid? Are they going to enjoy it? Jerry's one of those people that says, hey, let me make you feel really good about the experience your kid's going to have here. Let me show you how check-in works. And then let me take you to the room. And you can watch your kid get settled in the room. And let me tell you about the vision of Kids Club. We want kids to find their place in God's story. And that's happening in Kids Club every week. Jerry's one of the people getting his jersey dirty. Let me tell you, my team right now is on the other side of the world getting their jerseys dirty in South Africa. We got hundreds of people in South Africa from this team. And they're delivering food that all of us collected through our Thanksgiving food drive in the fall. And they're taking it to people. Can you imagine for a person in a rural village in South Africa how wonderful it must feel to have a person come with a dirty jersey and say, I came all the way from the other side of the world to provide for some basic needs and to let you know that God loves you, he knows you, and he cares about you. My friend Chuck Thompson is getting his jersey dirty in South Africa. Rachel and Andy Ryder, friends of mine, getting their jerseys dirty in South Africa right now. That's what we do. That's what we do as a team. People around here who lead groups, spiritual growth groups, community groups, healing groups, recovery groups, people who stay after services and pray with people, getting their jerseys dirty. Why? Because that's what Jesus did. That's what Jesus did. Jesus took on flesh and wore the jersey that you and I wear. Not only that, but he was willing to break himself and to die to the point of death, so that we knew that he would identify with us and rescue us. I'm telling you what, it's an invitation to get your jersey dirty. And I want you in on that. One of the things I feel like is my role around here as the campus pastor of Oakley is I want to invite you and I want to challenge you into having a ripple effect. I believe you can change the world, but it doesn't happen if you don't receive the coach. And it doesn't happen if you don't connect with other people. And it doesn't happen if you don't get your jersey dirty. I want that for you. I want that for you. This is not about filling slots. I want the change that comes from serving. A grown man crying like Rick. I want you crying, grown man. I want you to have change in your life and know that you put points on the board for the 70, 80, 90 years that you've lived on this planet. And Jesus does too. Jesus does too. See, when I look through the book of Acts, this is what I see. I see a group of people who received the power of the coach, who chose to connect in community, and who acted in front of them, and they literally changed the world, and so can you. So can we. You know, a lot of times when the band comes out, you know it's time to almost stand up and sing. We're not going to do that this time. We're not going to do that because today, I don't think the right response would be just standing up and singing more words. I think there's something you can do. So I'm going to give you two things to think about when you leave here today. First, I want you to think, well, actually, I'm going to give you more than that because I feel like I want to say this. For some people, maybe you're just at the point of receiving. Maybe that's where you are in your journey. Jesus said, just ask. Just ask. We have people who would love to stay behind and pray with you. If you just stay in your seats, they'll come to you and pray with you. And maybe it's a prayer of saying, hey, I'm surrendering today. Maybe it's a prayer of just saying, hey, I'm at the beginning of my journey, but I'm asking God, if you have something for me, I'd love to know what it is. Man, just ask. For others of us, maybe we've been playing for the name on the back of the jersey, and the call in your life is you got to get on a team. You got to start doing life with people. You got to get connected. You can't keep doing this solo, independent thing. It will not work. You got to connect. Maybe that looks like connecting in a group. Maybe that looks like connecting and growing. Maybe that looks like connecting in a deeper way with the people in your very own home. But whatever it is, you got to connect. And, you know, maybe for us, it is getting our jerseys dirty. Getting our jerseys dirty. If you're part of this community, I want you to know, we got plenty of people getting their jerseys dirty, and we'd love for you to be one of them. We'd love for you to be one of them who are serving around here, making things happen around here, not to fill a slot, but to literally be a part of a team that's changing the world. So cell number is going to come up, 513-393-9551. That's my personal cell phone number. No, it's not my personal cell phone number. Just making sure you're still there. But if you text your email to that number, we'll follow up with a response that just says, hey, here's a bunch of ways that you can engage and be a part of this community. Shameless plug. I can't think of a better place for you to get your jersey dirty than right here at 3500 Madison Road as a part of a community who is connecting seekers to Christ followers and changing the world. I want you to be a part of that. And I'm inviting you to be a part of that. So right now, take out your smartphone, text to that number. We will be glad to get you plugged in so that you can be a part of the team. And the second thing, and this is for all of us, next week, guys, next week when you come in, you're going to get one of these beans and rice starter kits. Because we're going to do the beans and rice fast again, and I want you right now to commit that you will engage in this. Right now, commit that you're going to eat weird for a week so that other people can have an impact, other people can benefit and be blessed by your sacrifice. Hey, here's the thing. I know some of you are like, wait a second. That's spring break for my family. Are you telling me you want me to go on vacation and eat nothing but beans and rice? No, I'm not saying that. Do it this week. Do it this week. If you know you're going to be out the 6th through the 13th and that doesn't work for your schedule or your life, how about doing it this week? How about doing it the week after? But what I would tell you is, be a part of this thing. Be a part of this thing. Because together, we're going to collectively do something that will change the world. When you come next week, we'll be telling you about the organizations that we're going to bless this year. Not just us, but 30 other teams, a part of this team, making a difference. So guys, I want you to know, I want you to engage, because I really believe God will meet you as you get your jersey dirty. So just commit that you're going to be a part of it. And we're so excited to have you on the team. That's all we got. We'll see you next week.